It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Wow, it's a Friday, and we're going to make it a very special day. We have a true music icon in our studios today. We'll be talking with Justin Hayward, so you hang around. This is going to be a great show. It's Border Crossings on The Voice of America.
One, two, three, four.
Summer sun is fading as the year grows old, and darker days are drawing near. The winter winds will be much colder. Watch the birds fly south across the autumn sky, and one by one they disappear. I wish that I was flying with them. Now you're not here. Like the sun through the trees, you came to love. Autumn's golden gown, we used to kick our way. You always loved this time of year. Those fall leaves lie undisturbed now, 'cause you're not.
Hi, this is Larry London, and welcome to Border Crossings here on VOA TV and VOA Radio Worldwide. Today in our studios in Washington, D.C., we have the pleasure to welcome a living legend, a music icon who's been in the business, we're talking, what, over 50 years?
Yeah, since I was 17, so I'm 68 now. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you look great. Justin Hayward, welcome to Washington. Welcome to Border Crossings.
Thank you very much. A great pleasure to be here.
It's an honor to be able to have you in our studios. And, of course, for those who have been listening to the radio for as many years as I have, everybody's heard Moody Blues music. Everyone around the planet.
Okay. Yeah,
and you, of course, are the voice of that band, Moody Blues. So the first question is, how did you guys come together? How did the Moody Blues meet and form?
Well, it started as a kind of put-together band in Birmingham in the Midlands, and as a rhythm and blues group put together from a few different groups. And that didn't really work, the rhythm and blues side. So I came in as a songwriter to replace the original guitar player, and the original bass player left, and we had a big shift round. We were lousy at kind of cover versions and rhythm and blues, but when we started doing our own songs, it really started to happen for us. Then we found an instrument called the mellotron, which gave us an orchestral sound and made my songs work, really. And then we had an identity in our songs and in our music, and we were lucky enough to make an album for Decca called Days of Future Past with Tuesday Afternoon and Nights in White Satin. Then we were brought to America by Bill Graham. We opened up for we were everybody's opening act for about 3 years. That's how it happened.
And you had responded to an ad, I guess, in a newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
It was placed by Eric Burdon, I read.
Yeah, I had two lucky breaks in my career. One was when I left school and I answered an ad in the Melody Maker, which was the only musician's newspaper. And I turned up at a house in East London, and Marty Wilde was standing at the door. And he was a famous rock and roll singer in the early 60s. And I got the job as a kid playing with Marty. I couldn't believe it. And then after that, I started writing songs. And I sent songs to Eric Burdon for the Animals, and heard nothing back at all. But about a month later, I heard from Mike Pinder, who was the keyboard player of the Moody Blues, and said, "I've heard some of your stuff, and like to meet." And so I met Mike and we got on well, and then I was in, really. I met the other guys, and I had one thing in my favor. I had an amplifier, which was more than they didn't have, and more than they had. Yes.
And you got your first guitar, I guess, at 15.
No, I got my first guitar when I was about 10.
10.
Yeah.
And then
I got a 335 when I was 15.
That you kept the same guitar for many, many years on many songs.
I've had the same red 335. It's got a sort of collector's badge of its own. Yes, it's more famous than I am.
And you started off, if I'm not mistaken, performing Buddy Holly music.
Me, as a kid, I just worshipped Buddy Holly, yeah. And as soon as I heard Buddy, then it focused my own mind about what I wanted to do. But I was only about, 10 or something like that when I first heard Buddy.
On the road, opening for the Tremolos.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, when I was still at school, I was doing well enough at school in semi-pro bands in the town where I was brought up to have a Vox amplifier, which I bought to the Moody Blues, and a nice guitar,
So they brought you in as a songwriter, and that's kind of what...
Well, they brought me in because the one guy had left and because they heard my songs. And Mike, the keyboard player, really liked the songs, and it was just a chance, really. It was a lucky break for me.
A lucky break.
I'm sure Mike met a couple of other guys, for the job as well.
Sure. But you ended up writing and singing the biggest hits from the Moody Blues collection, and, so many hits that you guys gave us over the years.
Well, I think, right after the very first incarnation of the band, the guys that were left, the original band was only together like just over a year or 18 months. And then when me and John joined, it was just, we didn't know each other, but none of us knew each other, but it was, the dynamic changed. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we started just doing our own songs, not being a cover band, it worked for us.
Mm-hmm. And you've also contributed music to film. You guys have been featured in films.
We were on The Simpsons. That's pretty
good. Yeah, there
you
go. That's
something
you can't
play. Yes. We weren't called the Moody Blues on The Simpsons. We were called the Satin Knights, I think.
The Satin Knights.
And we were playing at a club. We were in Ned Flanders Goes to Vegas, I think, was the title of the episode.
Justin Hayward is our guest today, and you're on tour right now for for your album that you released two years ago, I guess it was.
Yeah, the album of new songs, Spirits of the Western Sky, came out a couple of years ago, and I'm on the road now with my acoustic show with a couple of fantastic musicians, mm-hmm. and it's a great show. And we'll be on the road and right through till, well, the beginning of October.
Is there any possibility of actually reuniting with the guys in the band? The guys?
You mean the mood is?
Yeah, because I know you guys have been together and you took a break and you've been together. And
We did a tour earlier this year and we come together again. The three of us that are remaining, mm-hmm. Nobody died, so that's, you know, but the three of us are still in the band. we come together for the Moody Blues Cruise next February. Then a few dates after that, It was just always fun, lots of naughtiness on the cruise and everything.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Justin Hayward. He has a catalog of hits and many, many books worth of stories to tell. But before we get to that, I'm going to ask if you wouldn't mind doing a song for us. That would be wonderful.
Yeah,
it's a thrill to have you here in D.C.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Great pleasure. I was at Birchmere last night, and I think I'm in Arlington later today. So there you go. Do you need an introduction?
I would love one.
Okay. So I grew up in a town called Swindon, which is at the beginning of the West Country in England. And it's in a landscape of rolling hills. And my late brother and I shared a room at the back of this house that had the most magnificent view to the west. And when we were little kids, he was 9, I was 8, and we're getting into music. He liked Elvis and Bobby Darin, and I liked Buddy and the Everlys. And I was the one. We would dream about our heroes being out there in that western sky. Our bedroom faced the west, you know, and we would think of our heroes. Because we didn't have English rock and roll heroes. Cliff Richard and the Shadows, we had one record, Move It. And I was the one lucky enough to come here, you know, and go to Nashville and Tupelo, Mississippi, and to walk the streets of Lubbock in Texas, where Buddy was born, only 10 years after that, when I was, you know, still a teenager. And this song is about that window and about that sky. Here we go. Isn't it a strange world? With you and me, gazing at each other through a misty scene of what might have been. Dreaming of the green hills where we could fly. Listening to the night bird that made us cry with its lullaby. And we'll overcome and stand on the heights. And we'll be together in our dream. As we look around us, the world goes on. We're strangers in a strange land, just trying to find where we don't belong. Shadows in the darkness, just passing through. But now that I've found you, what I got to do. And we'll overcome and stand on the heights. And we'll be together. Out on the horizon,
west wind sighs. A beautiful adventure is waiting there in the western sky. So bring me some redemption, or take me home. Take me where my heart lies. Now I know that I'm not alone. And we'll overcome. Stand on the heights, and we'll be together in our dreams.
Wow, fantastic. Sounding great.
Good.
Gosh, just good. 50 years ago, you sound just as good. Your voice is still there.
It's a new song.
It's a brand new song. Well, it sounds lovely. Justin Hayward here on Border Crossings on the Voice of America. So, in listening to you, you had mentioned that Cliff Richard was kind of all, that influenced people
from England. I love Cliff and the Shadows. It was great,
But you were listening to Elvis and Buddy Holly and all that.
Yeah, of course.
Is that one of the reasons why? Because often the question comes up, British singers don't sound British when they sing. They sing in American English.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
No, don't apologize.
I'll remember that and try to...
put a little accent in.
I'll try to start a movement towards...
So it's been six decades since Go Now, one of the very first earliest Moody Blues hits, and all of the vast catalog, as I mentioned, that you have, all the big number one hits. Mm-hmm. You won an Ivor Novello Songwriting Award.
I won two, actually.
Two of them.
Thank you very much.
With the band and as a solo.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And so, but not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And we were talking about that before.
Yeah.
Is that something that you feel is a missing piece, or does that not really matter much?
I don't think it is for someone like me who lives in Europe and is a committed European, because it doesn't mean much. Maybe even the opposite, actually. I think in England, whenever it's mentioned, it's like, well, what right do they have to tell us what should be in the Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame? Mm. But it means a lot to the American fans. Mm-hmm. But it's subjective, isn't it?
Yes.
Music is subjective. I always think that, really, without my own music. I believe that the show that I'm doing now, my acoustic show, I know it's good. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, that's a different thing.
You're happy, and that's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Well, music is subjective.
Right. 2003, you performed at the Rock Hall of Fame.
I did, yeah.
You did a show there.
Yeah.
And released an album as a result of that performance.
Yes.
But when you're on stage now, tell me about, the audiences. Are you all different ages, I'd assume? You're getting young people with the new music. You're getting some of the older fans who...
Well, funnily enough, with the Moodies, it's mostly people that joined us in the 80s with Wildest Dreams. We had a couple of big hits, Wildest Dreams, and I Know You're Out There Somewhere, which was a great time for me personally to have, to be the writer of those hits and to... I was kind of awake and aware. I kind of missed it in the 60s, but but I was really paying attention in the 1980s. And so I love that time. So a lot of the crowd is from there. In my own show, there's quite a lot of very young people, but there's people of my own age that feel comfortable in that acoustic situation, come with the wife and the family. It's a different thing somehow. And the kind of gigs we play... A very nice performing arts centres and like the Ram's Head and Birchmere last night. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful. I mean, I definitely go there.
You like the smaller crowds versus the big 50,000?
Well, I wish we played to 50,000 with the Moodies. The Moodies is about, 3,000 and my show is about 1,100 But we just did Glastonbury, as a matter of fact, and... How many people were there?
There.
Like half a million people.
Exactly.
There, yeah.
So you didn't do 50,000, but you did 500,000.
500,000. Yeah.
And so this tour is now in the United States.
This is a U.S. tour.
Worldwide.
I've done the U.K. already. I did the U.K. with the U.S. and U.K. with the Moodies. Then I went on to do my own tour for the first time in the U.K. And that turned out to be very successful. Live Nation. asked me back, and mm-hmm. so I'm going to do another one next year. And then we're continuing it through the US mm-hmm. and then through some European dates later in the year and then on. Yeah, I'll be back again next year.
It must blow you away when you're on stage in a country that doesn't speak English,
yes.
but they know every word to every song.
Absolutely. Yeah, France is one of those countries, mm-hmm. you know, countries like that. And Italy, yeah. That are working, yeah, and Holland too. But of course, they do, as you know, they do speak great English in the Netherlands.
Now, if you had a choice between starting your career now, not at this yeah. age, but nowadays, the way music is
yes.
today, or back in the '60s when you started, mm-hmm. which would you prefer?
I think it's tougher now. Mm-hmm. I think there are it's a more brutal world now, and I think you get kind of one chance, you get one shot at it, and. I do feel for the boys and girls that, you know, I appreciate the talent shows, The Voice and those kind of things, and mm-hmm. America's
X
Got
Talent.
Yeah,
stuff,
X Factor. Yeah. But you're going to be branded with that the rest of your life, you know, and your 15 minutes of fame is going to be very important when you're my age, when you look back. I think it's tougher now, but I think the groups that can do a gig and create a little bit of magic in a room will always survive.
Mm. All right, Justin Hayward's here, so we're going to ask if you do another song.
Oh, yeah. I was going to detune, but I can't be bothered, Larry.
What's the song you're going to do?
The last sort of 20 years, I've really downsized my life. And I've moved from a big house in London to an apartment in France, and then now I live in the most beautiful place in a one-bedroom flat, but by the Mediterranean.
Wow.
And so all that time, I was traveling on the road, and I decided to go east as well as west, and met some people that I hope to be with for the rest of our lives. And this is called The Eastern Sun. Let me be on a mission to your heart, on a journey to your soul. Let me be by your side. Let me be dedicated to your needs, silent when you breathe. Let me be. Let me be in the skylark and the stream, the meadow rich in green. Let me lay by your side. Let me be in the whisper in the trees, gentle like the breeze. Let me be. And if we find life's mercy, we'll shelter and run from the rain. And maybe somehow, somewhere, heaven will find us again. In the east, as we journey on our way, at the dawning of the day, let me walk by your side. Travel on through the gardens and the groves, the cardamom and the cloves. Let me be. Shelter and run from the rain.
side. Let me be dedicated to your needs, silent when you breathe. Let me be.
Great. They're standing all around the world. Loving your music, Justin Hayward. Sounding great. Has it always been music? I mean, is that what you knew you wanted to do from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a family. My parents were both teachers, and they had a very strong faith, and which was great, and it installed it in me. And it installed in me, most importantly, an education and a knowledge about the Anglican Church, which is a great, big, beautiful work of art in itself, rather like the Catholic Church is, mm-hmm. you know, in a way. And you can enjoy it for its own sake, for the beauty of the buildings and the thing and the history and the story. But so I grew up with the hymns from Hymns Ancient and Modern, which I think is called the New English Hymnal now. And those melodies, those ancient melodies, just particularly from the sort of 19th century, just stuck in my head as a little boy. And I knew that there was something in assembly we would sing those things. Of course, it's politically incorrect now to do that. And quite right, you shouldn't have to do that. But when my brother and I were little boys, we would sing those songs in assembly every morning in school. And they just stuck in my head. And then I don't know. It was always music. And then I pestered my parents for a ukulele and then a guitar. And they were very kind of liberal people. They were both teachers, as I say, and they were kind of a bit new age with mm-hmm. it. So they always encouraged me. Mm-hmm. But they could get your 5-0 levels, which is a qualification. You know, they made sure that I passed enough exams. They knew how to pass exams. They told me how to pass exams to get into a really good school, a grammar school. And so I got a great education. Then they said, okay, you can do what you want. So,
are your children into music? I know that you had a daughter in 72 who sang on an album
at
age 5. You put her on your album, Songwriter.
So. Yeah. I don't know, but I've got a grandson now, little Cassius.
Ah,
he's 7. Yeah, thank you. And he's got some groove mm-hmm. in him. You know, he grooves along there. And the whole of my family, we all... Our life is around music. Not that anybody else in the family works in music, but mm-hmm. You know, my son-in-law is a writer and writes a lot about music. But I think my grandson is going to be the one. Like, funny enough, that I inherited all the records from my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Like all these wind-up 78s, and that really turned me on. And maybe it'll.
You'll pass it on to him now.
Little Cassius.
Yeah. And the album Songwriter. Okay, so if you look back at your career, would you say? What would be your favorite part? Would it be the songwriting? Would it be the singing? Is it,
Well, songwriting is a kind of world of imagination. It's like having a room in your house that nobody else can go in somehow. But it makes all the rest of the stuff possible. And I think my life would be... I'd be quite a sad person if I wasn't a songwriter. Mm-hmm. There'd be a part of my life that's really quite... That would be empty. Mm-hmm. But... I think the songs make the rest of the things happen, but I was very lucky to be part of that group of people in the 60s in London, in swinging London, to have gone there with Marty Wilde in 1963, and to have grown up. And it was a small community mm-hmm. in London when the Beatles came and changed everything, and I was glad to be part of that and to know everybody and to... You know, that was a wonderful time.
You must have some great stories to just say, from what you remember.
I know I was there. I've seen the pictures.
Now, do you have a favorite Moody Blues song?
My favorite Moody song is a song called I Know You're Out There Somewhere mm-hmm. and from the 80s. And it seems to resonate with a lot of people. And you can go anywhere in the world and play that. And people will kind of know it. And then by the time you've got to the end of the second verse, they go, I've heard this song. And they they get into the sentiment of it.
Right.
It's about knowing what happened to the first girl you ever loved or the first boy you ever loved. You
know? Now, being on the road for as many years as you have, do you ever get tired of this? I mean, is it, you know, or is it just passion, and what keeps you going?
Well, I'm sorry to use the word, but it's a kind of drug, you know, in a way, and you get, it's a gypsy life, because it's not, that being on the road is not the real world.
Right,
It's a fantasy kind of life, and you don't get room service at home, you know. But although I try, but it's something I feel. I also feel a duty to do it because it makes people happy, and I think music makes the world a better place. So I'm going to keep doing it.
What song, if you could pick a song that kind of gets the best reaction from the Moody Blues catalog when you're doing a concert?
Yeah,
what gets them up? What gets them going crazy?
There's a couple of things. I mean,
I imagine they're standing the whole show. For all the great songs.
I think Tuesday Afternoon, because it was the first biggie for us, for this group here in the U.S., Ride My Seesaw, and of course Nights, which I'm...
Yeah, you're going to do that for us.
This guitar is waiting to do.
Do you remember where you were when you heard your song on the radio for the first time?
Well, that's the thing. Yes, I do. I made a couple of records before I joined the Moody's, and I made some records with Marty as well, and I can certainly remember where I was, yes. And I remember sitting on the stairs in my parents' house, and listening to it on the radio and thinking, wow, that's seems quieter than everybody else's. I didn't think, that sounds great. I thought, why can't they turn mine up a bit more?
And then you get a phone call, you're number one. I mean, that...
Yeah.
That must have kind of rocked your world.
Well, with Nights, it was a very slow success story. And Nights, Question was the one that I really had a phone call where, hey, that's number one. And the Question was a great time for us, 1970, the Isle of Wight Festival. But Nights was number one first in France. Mm-hmm. And it sort of grabbed the French people first. And that was a great phone call, yes. And we dashed over to Paris again and enjoyed the sort of anarchist society that have a chauffeur. You know, you can be an anarchist with a chauffeur, can't you, in France? Yes.
Well, here we are, 70 million records sold later.
Is that right?
14 platinum albums in your collection. Wow. And, of course, you've had a number of solo albums do very, very well. And you're on the road right now touring, performing some new stuff, some classic stuff.
Yeah, some deep things from the albums that you would never hear with the Moody's, yes.
And you've got the new live album from Atlanta.
That's right, live at the Buckhead in Atlanta, a DVD, that, yes.
So go out and get a copy right away.
Absolutely.
And check it out.
And Spirits of the Western Sky, of course, the two songs that I did now. Yeah.
Beautiful songs.
Beautiful
songs.
Thank you.
So I mean, if people want to reach out to you and on Facebook and stuff, are you doing all the social media
stuff? Yeah, it's all there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all there. And
Where can they go?
Just check it out.
You know the...
Well,
your website address?
Yeah, the website address, and people will find it. You know, there's a Facebook thing and a Twitter thing.
You can't hide anymore.
No, not really.
But and we also talked off air before about writing a book, and you said maybe not anytime soon. Out of concern for what information may be. You have to tell the stories. You said you have to tell the stories.
I'd have to be honest, so it would have to be warts and all. So it might be hurtful.
Ruffle some feathers.
That's a good way of putting it, Larry. Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Ruffle some feathers.
Do you have a highlight? Something that would have to be in that book that would be a chapter? This is the highlight for me?
The highlight career-wise? Or
life.
Career is... We're talking today about the career, but of course I have a life.
You do.
And people that I love, and of course... But career-wise, I think it would... we're talking about the career. And career-wise, in 1972, we played Madison Square Garden twice in one day. And they gave us the Golden Ticket Award. Because nobody will ever sell more tickets in one day at Madison Square Garden than us. Because you've got to do it twice in the same day.
Same day.
Yeah. So we did a 5 o'clock and an 8 o'clock or something like that, or a 9 o'clock. But still nobody knew who we were. And then Ray and I, the flute player, and I went out on the street between the shows and gave some tickets away. And people were like, hey, man, great, that's great. And they had no idea who we were. And, and they must have been in the concert. And they go, weren't those the guys that, you know, because people always know the music, but we were never celebrities, which was a good thing in a way.
Yes. And in all the albums I didn't see a Christmas album. No holiday
music.
Yeah,
we did a seasonal album, which I don't think was the greatest move we ever did. I think it was called December. And no, you got to look a little harder there. dig a little deeper. Yeah.
All right, if you wouldn't mind doing one more song. I know this is a song that's touched millions and millions of people around the world for various different reasons, and maybe none of us really actually know what the story is in the song that you might be able to shed a little light on, since you wrote this classic song.
Yeah. I was 19 years old. I was at the end of one big love affair, the beginning of another, you know, and I came home from a gig one night, just wrote the two verses of the song. And I don't know, a girlfriend had given me some white satin sheets, and the love affairs when you're that age are huge, aren't they, you know, in your life. But I think there's a lot of truth in this song. People think, what is he going to play? But I do think that I do write letters never meaning to send. I'm very careful about pressing the send button on emails for nowadays, that's for sure. I do think just what you want to be, you'll be in the end. So here we go.
Nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. Just what the truth is, I can't say anymore, 'cause I love you. Yes, I love you. They cannot defend just what you want to be. You will be in the end, and I'll love you.
Goosebumps. Honestly, I've got goosebumps. There are several songs in the history of classic rock music that are always among the biggest and the best hits. Billboard, Rolling Stone, they rank them all the time, and Nights in White Satin is always in that list.
I hope so.
And back in the time when you put that song together, it came out on the radio, you took a big risk because it's a 7-minute song. So that was a big risk because, I mean, American Pie, Hey Jude, Stairway to Heaven, just a few other songs in rock history have passed the barrier that was created
That's
by
right,
radio.
That's right, Well, it was released in a lot of countries. Like we said, it was number one in France, you know, straight away. But they didn't release it in the U.S. No, they released Tuesday Afternoon first, which was great because it was a short, you know, 2.5 minute song, and it was a big hit for us. But then the pressure to release Nights became, it became unstoppable, really. So a few months later, they released Nights.
Mm. Career-wise, any regrets? Looking back, anything you'd do differently?
I do lots of things differently. Yeah, of course.
Honestly, but looking at a career, you know, as accomplished and as respected and as successful as yours, it's hard to imagine that you would change anything.
I've been very, very lucky. Very, very lucky things that have happened, and the moment has come, and I've been able to grasp that moment.
Mm. Were you guys ever kicked out of a hotel? I have to ask that.
Yes,
I get that all the time from rock bands who actually destroy the hotel rooms.
Never destroyed a hotel room. Why? You know, but
told to leave.
Kicked out. Yes.
And when you sign in, do you use alias names? Do you guys give? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I change.
So all that
the
stuff
time.
Is true. Then all these stories that we hear.
Yes. I mean, there was a lot more naughtiness went on in the 60s. It was a lot freer, then, and girls were powerful. They're a lot more powerful than they are now, I think. You know, they would hunt in gangs, and they could always take care of themselves. And they were around musicians. In fact, I would say in the 60s that the girls and the women were the greatest uncredited support for the groups, mm-hmm. really. That in my own case, I wasn't living in my own house when I was living in the flat of my girlfriend. Our drummer and I were, thank goodness, we had girlfriends who had a job that worked, who had an apartment, and that we could live on their couch and support us. Yes, it was like that. Mm. It was like that.
Amazing. Well, I mean, is there any advice you could offer to the young, if you could talk to Ed Sheeran, Sam Smith, these young guys just getting started? But, as somebody who's been through the school of hard knocks, what would you tell them?
I would say trust your own judgment, because there's going to be a lot of failure along the way, along with little bits of success. Trust your own judgment, do what you think is right, and then you'll have nobody else to blame at the end, if it goes pear-shaped. And that's some comfort. Mm-hmm. But trust your own judgment and create some magic somewhere live, be able to do it live. If you can do it on record, that's great, but you've got to be able to do it in a room.
And with that, a good lead into the new CD, the DVD, Spirits Live. It's mm-hmm. available now.
Yeah.
And the album, which has been out for a couple of years.
Yes, Spirits of the Western Sky. Yes.
Get a copy of
that. All the new songs.
And go see Justin Hayward in concert if he is performing near you.
I look forward to seeing you, yeah.
Thank you, Justin, for coming in.
Oh, great pleasure.
What an honor to meet you, and I appreciate you coming by today.
Oh, great pleasure.
I'm Larry London. You're watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Styling, wilding, living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band about that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch. Just watch. Don't believe me, just watch. Don't believe me, just watch.
hallelujah. Ooh. Girl, set you hallelujah. Ooh. Girl, set you hallelujah. Ooh. 'Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Ooh. 'Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you. Just watch. Uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up, uptown funk you up. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you succeed and flown it, if you freak dead and own it, don't brag about it, come show me. Come on, dance, jump on it. If you succeed and flown it, well, it's Saturday night and we in the spot. Don't believe it, just watch.
You're hit the mishal, fire and ashal, water and whiskey burn. We kiss, we fight, make up all night. You're the blessing and the curse.
But I don't ever wanna break this chain. I don't ever wanna walk away. 'Cause I ain't ever gonna find another lover make me feel this way.
Over and over and over, we say that we're through. But I come right back to you. Change.
There's a long stretch of love coming down the line.
I'm your rock that won't ever roll, and baby, you'll be mine. I'll be right here beside you when these good times get tough. Baby, we're in for a long stretch of love.
Oh,
Border Crossings, and we're listening to a request from Tony in Nigeria, Lady Antebellum, Long Stretch of Love, and before that, it was Barbara Nanyombi and her request for Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk here on Border Crossings. Again, thanks to Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues for coming in and joining us on the show today. I did promise the Now 55 CD giveaway, so I'm going to take the third caller right now, 202-619-2077. Caller 3 right now will win the last Now 55 CD we've got to give away. So caller 3, 202-619-2077 while we listen to this from the Beatles. From us to you, it's the Beatles. And from us to Eileen and Ghana, the Now 55 CD. Eileen and Ghana, congratulations. Eileen was the third caller, and she claims the last copy of the Now 55 CD, which we were given to give away for the entire month of August. And on the Now 55 CD, Ellie Goulding, Jason Derulo, Fifth Harmony, who you will be hearing on Border Crossings very soon. I talked to the five ladies this week, and you will hear from them. David Guetta, Omi, Pitbull, Nick Jonas, Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and more on the Now 55 CD that we have been giving away all month. And thanks again to our friends at EMI for contributing the CD, and Alan over at his company, Daybreak Entertainment, for giving us the CDs to give away as well. As always, supporting Border Crossings and the Voice of America. And thank you for listening to our show today and all week long, and all the great guests we've had on this past week. It's been a busy week for Border Crossings. And we will be back with you after the long weekend on Monday at 1500 Universal. I invite you to come back, bring some friends along as well, and tune into the show. Thanks to Wagner, who is our engineer, and to Vince, our producer, director, and Felicia, and to the rest of the crew, Nick and Gary, and everyone else who helped behind the scenes to make today's performance of Justin Hayward happen. Absolutely lovely guy. Great show. Thank you very much for tuning in. Have a great weekend. I'm Larry London. This is the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.
But you know what we need?